When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ngā mihi nui. I'm Alison Balance and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ. They're small, brown and often overlooked. Many of us have never heard of them. But kākahi or freshwater mussels were once an important resource for Māori. They ate them and used the shells for everything from cutting hair to rattles on kites. These days, we're finally beginning to appreciate their importance as ecosystem engineers. This week, 200 kākahi were welcomed to a new home in Wellington's Zealandia Sanctuary. This pioneering translocation involves two species of mussels collected from two lakes near Wellington. Lake Wairarapa is part of the rohi of Ngāti Kahununu. Lake Kohanga Piripiri, one of the Tūparangarāhu lakes at the entrance to Wellington Harbour, is in the rohi of Taranaki Whānui. I recently joined an enthusiastic group of Taranaki Whānui whānau, along with staff from Greater Wellington Regional Council and Zealandia Sanctuary at Lake Kohanga Piripiri to collect kākahi for translocation. Despite the cold wind, Taranaki Whānui trustee Holden Hohaia is one of the keen people willing to brave the water.
You looking forward to going in?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Feeling the mud under my feet, kākahi in between my toes.
Have you collected them before?
Never.
Did you know anything about them before this project?
Not a hell of a lot, not really, but just since I've been involved in the project, started learning about them over the last couple of months, yeah.
Holden is not alone. I think it's fair to say that most of us here are only just learning about kākahi or freshwater mussels. Today is the second of two trips to collect kākahi to be moved to a new home in the middle of Wellington City.
Kia ora, I'm Therese McLeod. I belong to Taranaki Whānui.
Now, you were out at Lake Wairarapa yesterday?
I was, with Ngāti Kahununu, to get the kākahi out of Lake Wairarapa. It was a powerful experience. I've never met kākahi before. They weren't part of my family's diet. We didn't live in areas near them, but I fell in love with them yesterday in that lake.
Did you know anything about them before?
Nothing about them before. Never heard of them before. Until about 3 weeks ago, when this idea was sort of socialised amongst our iwi here, and I heard about the program of collecting them to take from Lake Wairarapa in Kahununu territory, from our lakes here in Parangarahu, and they're ultimately both joining each other together in Zealandia's upper dam.
The person here who does know lots about kākahi or freshwater mussels is Amber McEwen. She's studying them for her PhD at Victoria University, and it would be fair to say she is a bit of a kākahi fan.
It's radiant. I think the kākahi is radiant. It's understated, but glorious. It's all browns and greens, isn't it? But it looks like there's a million different shades, and when you put it in the light, it shines.
So how many species of freshwater mussels do we have in
New Zealand? We have three recently described species and one possibly extinct that I'm aware of.
And are they common? Are they rare?
They're a lot rarer than they used to be. They used to be pretty much everywhere. You'd find huge beds of mussels in lakes and rivers.
So in terms of their threat status, what are they comparable to?
So both of the species that we're dealing with at the moment have got a more serious conservation status than little spotted kiwi and North Island kōkako, just for example.
So tell me about their life cycle, because I gather that's really quite curious.
Yeah, it's amazing. And all freshwater mussels have this really amazing life cycle where they need fish. They require fish in order to be able to complete their life cycle. So the mum kākahi will brood her babies internally, and then when she's ready, she'll sort of sneeze them out of her shell into the water. And these little glochidia, they're these little animals that have got these sort of grabbing hooks, and they'll grab those hooks onto a passing fish, and they'll live on the fish for a couple of weeks, something like that, during which time they'll undergo a transformation into a juvenile kākahi. They turn into this little cocoon kind of thing, and then drop off as a juvenile kākahi, and the fish will transport them away from the adults so they achieve dispersal, which is like a main thing that animals need to figure out how to do, to disperse.
So a passing fish for them is a bit like a passing bus.
I guess so, yeah, yeah, a critical bus. And if it's not there, you die, basically.
So you've hitchhiked this ride to some new spot and then you let go of your fish, say goodbye, then what happens?
Then you become a mystery to science, essentially. So we know almost nothing about Kakahi juveniles, about what they need, where they are. They're pretty much never seen outside of a lab. Yeah, we mostly start seeing them when they're about sort of 5 to 10 mils long, and even then it's very, very uncommon to see one in the wild.
How big do they grow as an adult?
It depends how old they get, I guess, and they can get up to 50 years old. The largest ones would be maybe the size of a medium-sized tuirua or a small green shell mussel. So generally they're about the size of a large tuatua or large pipi.
So the ones in the lake out here, you're finding mostly mature adults?
This lake here might actually, and I need to do a bit more survey work, might be a very unusual lake and might actually have a viable population, including many different size classes, including juveniles. And that may have something to do with this lake being free of pest fish, which makes it pretty much unique in New Zealand.
So they sound like real mystery animals to me.
They really are, yeah. They're a black box organism. I mean, Echinodella auclandica, which we collected from Wairarapa yesterday, is the rarer species of the two. I mean, we know they're a separate species. There's been genetic analysis done. We know that they coexist with the more common species in some cases, and we know a few places where they live. And apart from that, we know nothing about their basic biology, ecology, interactions with other species, reproduction, nothing. We just know nothing about them. And that's phenomenal for a species that's almost gone. It's, you know, an endemic animal to New Zealand, and we know nothing about it, and we're just sort of scrambling to learn about it while we wave goodbye at the same time. Hopefully not, though.
Today's collecting expedition, though, is all about welcoming some kākahi that will soon be heading to their new home at Zealandia. To help with the move, there are lots of modern white plastic buckets and also some beautiful, freshly woven flax kite.
Kia ora, I'm Alison from Radio New Zealand.
Oh, tēnā koe, Alison. Ngā hui.
Harmony Wright.
Ada Wright.
Raya Jane Wright. Pleasure is right.
Can someone tell me about these beautiful kite that you're holding? Because they're all different sizes and they've got different size holes in them.
The bigger size holes kites are for gathering big mussels or something like that. Whereas for the little ones, they're quite designed for the kākahi little ones. These ones will be easier for the water to go in and out, so they'll still be fresh as they come out as well.
So these are traditional design. Is this what you would have done back in the day?
Yeah, so yes. These will be traditional for gathering any
kaimoana.
Kaimoana.
Kumara. Riwai, pumpkin.
Yeah. It's like very a traditional basket of food
for
source. The food source. Yeah.
About half a dozen brave people are wading out into the water. They're wearing wetsuits or waders, and judging by their reaction, I think the water's quite cold. And they've each got a kite into which they'll put the mussels that they find. And it actually looks like they're finding quite a few, so I really don't think it's going to take very long. Time to catch up with Paul Atkin. He's Zealandia's CEO.
We've got permission to collect 150 animals from this lake here and to translocate them into the upper lake in Zealandia as part of re-establishing that really special freshwater ecosystem. We're putting these animals back into it. They're a filter feeder, so they're basically freshwater engineers. They clean up the place.
Now, what's the bigger picture that this part of? Because it's not just about the upper lake at Zealandia, is it?
That's right, not at all. The Zealandia lakes essentially form the headwaters of the whole Kaiwharawhara water catchment. And there's a really wonderful multi-stakeholder project going on at the moment that we've had running for about 18 months now to restore the entire water catchment, not just the freshwater systems in that catchment, but actually the forest around it and the biodiversity in it. And, of course, putting these kākahi back into the upper lake in Zealandia is both a very real and symbolic start to that whole clean-up of the catchment.
It doesn't have scales, it doesn't have feathers, it's not a plant. It's quite a different translocation for
it
you.
It is, isn't it? And isn't that cool?
And here come the kākahi. So how warm was the water?
It wasn't too bad. Once you're in there, you're in, you know, it's all right. Plus, with everyone watching, you don't want to make out like it's cold, you know.
So what was the process? You were just feeling around with
just
your toes?
Just feeling with your feet, and then by the time you get a couple, you realise you just use your hands. Yeah, and just scoop your hand through the top of the mud, because they tend to be sort of heading down into the mud. Yeah. So they're not
very deep down?
No, not at all. They're all on the surface.
Didn't take you very long?
No, about, 15 minutes? We've got 150.
The kākahi are counted out into three buckets.
So this water is a mixture of Zealandia water and Parangarahu water. So that's just spending some time acclimatising in this water at the moment. So it's for an animal that lives in water, it's a very big deal to go from one type of water to another type of water. It can be quite a shock. So we've brought water from Zealandia here today just to make the process go a little bit softer on them, so they can get used to a mixture of water first, and then they'll be transferred into a fully Zealandia water for the trip back to the sanctuary.
So they don't get long to acclimatise?
We'll probably give them about an hour, which will be enough time to put their feet out and put their siphons out and have a wee filter and a wee taste and just get used to it.
Although it's been lost in recent years, Māori have had a long relationship with kākahi.
It was a traditional food source. I mean, it wasn't the most popular food source because there were tastier options available. But as a kai for convenience, it was easy to gather on the go. I mean, you saw that. We were out there for, 10, 15 minutes, and we gathered enough to feed a reasonable-sized family. So, you know, good protein source. And, look, people say, oh, what about the taste? Well, you know, it's possibly all in how you garnish it and cook it. We're definitely keen to re-establish it so that it's plentiful enough to be harvestable as a cultural food source for us.
They seem to be a bit of a litmus test for the quality of fresh water, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm still sort of learning about that stuff myself, but I understand they're one of the best filtration systems in the world. I think a couple of them can filter a litre of water in less than an hour, and no doubt would have contributed to the Māori of our waterways being in balance all the time, you know. Unfortunately, that's not the case now, but, you know, hopefully we can re-establish kākahi in our waterways in Wellington to the point where, you know, the Māori of our waterways does actually improve.
Yeah. So you look like you've got a bit of a production line going on there.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what you're doing?
We'll be grabbing the kākahi and then we'll be showering them.
And get a shower and a brush?
Yes.
So you're getting them out of the bucket?
Yes, and then we're putting them into a new bucket.
So what's with the brushing and the showering?
To remove as much as we can of the organisms living on the outside of them, algae, tiny invertebrates.
So you just don't want to take any hitchhikers with you?
We'd rather they stayed here, yep.
So this translocation today, that's a bit of an experiment?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's kind of an adaptive management experiment, I suppose. So we hope to help kākahi in the next decade or so in lots of different ways, now that we've realised how much trouble their populations are in. So one of the ways that we can hopefully help kākahi is by translocating them to new environments, like Zealandia, where people can learn about them, but also perhaps translocating them into places where they would historically have been found but have been extirpated, which is local extinction based on past events, which wouldn't take much if you just have one big pollution spill in an area that's, you know, that will do for all the kākahi. And without their fish hosts, well, with a lack of migratory galaxids, which is the wave-bait species, to carry them back into those habitats after the spill, for example, they can't get there on their own. So we can help them do that by translocation. So we need to learn how translocation works and how we can make it work for the kākahi, because we haven't really done that before in New Zealand. We haven't had a translocation that's been intensively studied. So that's what we'll be doing at Zealandia.
So you collected 50 animals from Lake Wairarapa yesterday.
Yes.
150 today from
yes.
Kohanga Piripiri. You're going to be following them at Zealandia. How are you going to do that?
We're going to follow them at Zealandia, that's right. Yeah, well, that's something I really enjoy doing. We're going to microchip them, so we'll attach little microchips to the outside of their shells, and they're very, very small and very, very light, and we just attach them with, we're going to try a couple of different adhesives. One is a marine sona acrylate and the other one is dental cement. So we just attach them to the shell and then just put a little layer of adhesive over the tag so that it's smooth, and we kind of contour it to the shell so it won't bother them. And we'll be able to locate them again without bothering them. So
you can just take up a microchip reader and wave it around?
Is that's
that
right. That's exactly.
Kind of plan?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get any sense of whether they might breed? How would you monitor that?
We've taken a bunch of before environmental DNA samples. So that's where you just take either samples of water or sediment and try and detect traces of DNA in the environment. So it's relatively new for doing this. But we're hoping to be able to, in the short term, to track their dispersal using that, if possible. Otherwise, we're going to do a little bit of fish sampling for the galaxa, the band of kokopu that lives up there. We'll do some fish surveying to see if we can find any evidence of parasitisation of the Glaucidia. Otherwise, we'll just wait. You know, 5-10 years, we might start seeing small mussels come into the system again. It's sort of, it's one of those things that to build up a population will take a very, 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 very long time for those guys because they live so long.
Kia ora, Amber, and a big thanks to Amber McEwen and everyone else helping to collect the kākahi. I'm Alison Balance, and this Our Changing World podcast first aired on RNZ National on the 2nd of August 2018. If you'd like to listen to this story again, check out the photos or find more stories to listen to, then you'll find lots to tickle your fancy at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. You can sign up for our weekly email newsletter there too and find our contact details. We are available on the RNZ app, and we are RNZ Our Changing World on your favourite podcast provider. You'll find plenty of other RNZ podcasts there too. We post links to all our stories on Twitter and Facebook, where we are RNZ Science. Thanks for listening. It's always lovely to have you there. Ciao for now. Mā te wā.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.